7. Trips about Rome. Jesus, Gonad, and Gained made 5 trips away from Rome to points of interest in the surrounding territory. On their visit to the northern Italian lakes, Jesus had the long talk with Gained concerning the impossibility of teaching a man about God if the man does not desire to know God. They had casually met a thoughtless pagan while on their journey up to the lakes, and Gained was surprised that Jesus did not follow out his usual practice of enlisting the man in conversation, which would naturally lead up to the discussion of spiritual questions. When Gained asked his teacher why he evinced so little interest in this pagan, Jesus answered, "Gained, the man was not hungry for truth. He was not dissatisfied with himself. He was not ready to ask for help. And the eyes of his mind were not open to receive light for the soul. That man was not ripe for the harvest of salvation. He must be allowed more time for the trials and difficulties of life to prepare him for the reception of wisdom and higher learning. Or, if we could have him live with us, we might by our lives show him the Father in heaven, and thus would he become so attracted by our lives as sons of God that he would be constrained to inquire about our Father. You cannot reveal God to those who do not seek for him. You cannot lead unwilling souls into the joys of salvation. Man must become hungry for truth as a result of the experiences of living, or he must desire to know God as the result of contact with the lives of those who are acquainted with the Divine Father, before another human being can act as the means of leading such a fellow mortal to the Father in heaven. If we know God, our real business on earth is so to live as to permit the Father to reveal himself in our lives, and thus will all God-seeking persons see the Father and ask for our help in finding out more about the God who in this manner finds expression in our lives." It was on the visit to Switzerland, up in the mountains, that Jesus had an all-day talk with both Father and Son about Buddhism. Many times Gained had asked Jesus direct questions about Buddha, but he had always received more or less evasive replies. Now, in the presence of the Son, the Father asked Jesus a direct question about Buddha, and he received a direct reply. Said Gonad, "I would really like to know what you think of Buddha." And Jesus answered, "Your Buddha was much better than your Buddhism. Buddha was a great man, even a prophet to his people, but he was an orphan prophet. By that I mean that he early lost sight of his spiritual father, the Father in heaven. His experience was tragic. He tried to live and teach as a messenger of God, but without God. Buddha guided his ship of salvation right up to the safe harbor, right up to the entrance to the haven of mortal salvation, and there, because of faulty charts of navigation, the good ship ran aground. There it has rested these many generations, motionless and almost hopelessly stranded. And thereon have many of your people remained all these years. They live within hailing distance of the safe waters of rest, but they refuse to enter because the noble craft of the good Buddha met the misfortune of grounding just outside the harbor. And the Buddhist peoples never will enter this harbor unless they abandon the philosophic craft of their prophet and seize upon his noble spirit. Had your people remained true to the spirit of Buddha, you would have long since entered your haven of spirit tranquility, soul rest, and assurance of salvation. You see, Gonad, Buddha knew God in spirit, but failed clearly to discover him in mind. The Jews discovered God in mind, but largely failed to know him in spirit. Today the Buddhists flounder about in a philosophy without God, while my people are piteously enslaved to the fear of a God without a saving philosophy of life and liberty. You have a philosophy without a God. The Jews have a God, but are largely without a philosophy of living as related thereto. Buddha, failing to envision God as a spirit and as a father, failed to provide in his teaching the moral energy and the spiritual driving power which a religion must possess if it is to change a race and exalt a nation." Then exclaimed Gained, "Teacher, let's you and I make a new religion, one good enough for India and big enough for Rome, and maybe we can trade it to the Jews for Yahweh." And Jesus replied, "Gained, religions are not made. The religions of men grow up over long periods of time, while the revelations of God flash upon earth in the lives of the men who reveal God to their fellows. But they did not comprehend the meaning of these prophetic words." That night, after they had retired, Gained could not sleep. He talked a long time with his father and finally said, "You know, Father, I sometimes think Joshua is a prophet." And his father only sleepily replied, "My son, there are others. From this day, for the remainder of his natural life, Gaynard continued to evolve a religion of his own. He was mightily moved in his own mind by Jesus's broad-mindedness, fairness, and tolerance. In all their discussions of philosophy and religion, this youth never experienced feelings of resentment or reactions of antagonism. What a scene for the celestial intelligences to behold, this spectacle of the Indian lad proposing to the creator of a universe that they make a new religion. And though the young man did not know it, they were making a new and everlasting religion right then and there, this new way of salvation, the revelation of God to man through and in Jesus. That which the lad most wanted to do, he was unconsciously actually doing. And it was and is ever thus. That which the enlightened and reflective human imagination of spiritual teaching and leading wholeheartedly and unselfishly wants to do and be, becomes measurably creative in accordance with the degree of mortal dedication to the divine doing of the Father's will. When man goes in partnership with God, great things may and do happen.